The technology used at Oxford University has helped decipher quite a large body of mostly illegible texts. Scholars there say in the last week or so, they've discovered in their collection the long-lost works of great authors, as well as the documents of ordinary people. They say it provides a fresh look at the ancient world. Dirk Obink leads the research, and I talked with him earlier, asking him to walk us through the process of decoding the ancient papyrus. Now, if you're looking at a piece of paper, a papyrus, without the infrared, what do you see if there's a problem there?
Well, the papyrus can be as light as brown paper, but it can also be darkened by fire, contact with damp, or minerals. A lot of them came out of rubbish mounds and were in the ground for 2 millennia. They can be as dark as charred newspaper.
And how many fragments do you have, and where do they come from?
I work on a collection in Oxford called the Oxyrhynchus Papyri Collection. It comes from Oxyrhynchus, which was a provincial capital in Greco-Roman times in central Egypt. And we've got about 400,000 fragments.
And what have you found in just the past, let's say, 10 days or so that you're so interested in?
Well, we've been able to identify a number of works by known classical authors that didn't survive through to the Middle Ages, in particular a poem of Archilochus, the 7th century poet from the island of Paros. This particular poem's about the Trojan War. It's about the Greeks trying to get to Troy, getting lost along the way, and mistaking a different city for Troy, engaging the inhabitants in battle, and getting beaten by them. They were forced to retreat and go back home before they finally realized they had to sacrifice Iphigenia to get to Troy.
Now, this must be tempting. I read in connection with this that Sophocles wrote more than 120 plays, and only 7 have survived, and you may have more within that big heap of fragments.
That's right. We have bits and pieces of all of them, including the 7 that survive. Sometimes those have exciting new readings in them where the medieval manuscripts have badly corrupted the verses and they can no longer be understood. But then there are also fragments of the plays that don't survive. Of course, they have to be identified, usually through a quotation in a later author. They might be missing the beginnings of the lines or the ends of the lines, and we have to reconstruct them using grammatical analysis and quotations. So it is quite an exacting process.
Professor Obink, how much of it, of this mass of material, could be very valuable, and how much of it is simply sort of literary ephemera from those times?
I would say a substantial amount of it is very valuable, and it has been recognized as very valuable. But the answer to your question, Noah, is that these things are increasing our knowledge of writing in the ancient world, not just books and classical literature, but also people's private lives. We've got their papers, their wills, their marriage contracts, their tax receipts. We've got public documents, court proceedings, edicts of emperors, and then we've got things of the seedy side of life as well, steamy novels with sex scenes and magical curses, love potions, and it gives us a picture of the ancient world from the ground up, not as preserved by later ancient historians, but real material culture, documentary evidence in writing of what ancient life was like.
Professor Dirk Obink talking with us from Oxford University in Oxford, England. Thank you, sir.
Thanks for ringing, Noah.